I love that beautiful hymn. It gets us, we need to bring our prayer requests to Him, but there's going to be a day when we're going to, this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. Beautiful, beautiful. Yep, face to face. Going to be wonderful. We have on the board, I kind of talked about it a minute ago there, just a little bit. We don't want to miss this on the tape. And so we've got Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And again, for you folks that are just like me and can't see 3 foot in front of you, Ephesus, the time period is 33 through 100. That's the apostolic age when the apostles were alive. They walked away from their first love, the Lord Jesus. What a sad, sad thing that the church of Ephesus, and yet today, folks are leaving the Lord Jesus by the thousands as far as service is concerned. And so they hated the Nicolaitans. We've established that. And the question, the time at the end was, remember what you had, your first love. Repent of you leaving and then return, or the actual word in the scripture is go. And so you need to get right back to work again. And so if you have left the Lord, it's time for you to repent and return. Now, we've had Smyrna, and that's the martyr church age, and that's from 33, about the exact time when the Lord Jesus was crucified, the birth of the church at Pentecost, and it stayed all the way to 314, and that's the martyred age. There were 10 Roman emperors that were great persecutors of the church, and Diocletian was the worst. It lasted 10 days. He slaughtered Christians literally by the thousands. They suffered a great level of poverty for Christ, but they received no condemnation. There was no criticism of them, and they will receive the crown of life. Now, to Pergamos, that's a different story, because the old devil tried to come in, and he tried to tear down the church by destroying them on the outside. He decided to move inside. And so Constantine came on the side here. I'll make reference to that today. And the compromising church age. And Constantine demanded that Christians all come together, and whether it was a cult or whatever it was. And he's actually the one that joined the state and the church together. And so he made the church worldly, and he made the world churchy. And we still have that today, very evident. And the doctrine of Balaam and the Nicolaitans was practiced. And so we find that the sharp two-edged sword means judgment. They were, for the true believers, given the manna and the white stone, the hidden manna. And if you remember the reference we made to that, it had been almost 500 years since it had been inside the Ark of the Covenant. That food, that feeding, that fellowship was going to return to those that were faithful in the Pergamos church. And then the church of Thyatira. We're there right now, and that's just going to be just about as clear as it can get, because it is the Roman Catholic Church age. And so if you want to know, and that's where we're going to be today, it's the Dark Ages. It's the Roman system of worship. It is the worst system that has ever disgraced the earth to this day. And so if you want to know where we stand concerning the Catholic Church or the Roman Catholic, it is the single worst. Now, we have a lot of cults out there. And you think, but this is the one that's going to return, and this is the one that destroyed. Now, the compromising church age was 314 to 590, and about the year 500, Thyatira set in, and because of the overlapping of those two time periods, Constantine started the together of, with the world, and then man became the leader instead of the Lord Jesus of the church. And that went from 500 through 1500. That's where we're going to be today. And all these churches, every single time, and sometimes more than once, I know thy works. And so the Lord Jesus is telling them that he knows exactly what's going on. So keep an eye on that board. And at the same time, we will print this out when we're done. And so you can have a copy of all the general comments of the seven churches, because it is not only seven literal churches, it is seven church ages, and also there are seven churches remained all through history. Every time you could find one of those churches, there's a church of Laodicea up here at this church of Ephesus, because those seven literal churches were at this same time. And so the condition when we get to church of Laodicea, the church of Thyatira, Pergamos, all those churches were in existence at the same time that the first church, the church from 33 to 100, was in existence. So all those things are there. So we're going to write that up so you can have that and can enjoy it. And so that gives you the entrance, the start of the study today. And it's very important that we know and enjoy the Word of God, study the Word of God, and recognize not only where you are as far as in what church, but where are you in your life? Because you can also do that. Where are you? Have you lost your first love? Do you love the world more than you love and serve God? Are you one of the Smyrna that you have the great persecution? Thyatira, that's where we're at today, is nothing but a mess. And so we're going to begin reading now in Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2, we're going to begin with the 18th verse. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. Unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a fire, a flame of fire, and his feet are like the fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put up on you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that we can come together, learn your precious word. It's so exciting, Father, to come to Sunday school and look through and study that precious Old Testament. And we're loving Leviticus and enjoying every minute of it. And Father, please bring folks in that they don't miss that study, that miss that opportunity to come and hear your word and bring the children into the Sunday school classes so that they can hear and enjoy your word, that they may grow. And it's so important. This world has got such an attachment onto everybody that they take us away from hearing and seeing your word. We make a thousand excuses for why we can't get into the house of God and hear your word. and none of them are of any value. So please, dear Lord, just touch all of our hearts and burden our hearts that we come back and have that first love. But, Father, to come back is to repent. And so please to come and say, Father, I am so sorry. I'm so sorry that I've left you. I am here. Please grow me and strengthen me each and every day. Bring folks to salvation, Father, please. Those that do not know you as their Lord and Savior, bring them to the cross where you died for our sins. Shed your blood for us. Please just speak to all of our hearts today, Father. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a little bit of a different introduction with each one of these churches. The church of Ephesus, it says, write these things, saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. So he's speaking directly to the pastors and to the churches. Church of Smyrna, it says, these things, saith he, the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. The relationship is much different with the church of Smyrna. The church of Pergamos, on the other hand, these things saith he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Judgment's coming to the church of Pergamos. Thyatira, these things saith the Son of God. This is the only time that that's spoken there. The Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like as fine brass. And once again, in these four that we've discussed, he says, I know thy works. In just a little bit of review for Thyatira, we know that the city is about 35 miles southeast of Pergamos. It is a kind of the headquarters of the Tanning Guild and the Weavers Guild. And so Lydia, of course, was from there, and that was one of Paul's first converts. The period of time, as we've already said, is 500 to 1500. This period represents the Dark Ages. And if your calculator in your head's working this morning, that's 1,000 years. 1,000 years. And what could bring on what we call the Dark Ages for 1,000 years? It is because, once again, Constantine started the union between the state and the church. And he required everyone to follow this. And if you refused to be baptized and join the church, you were put to death. And so instead of thinking it's a good thing to promote the church and all those things, they were put to death because of it. This is a period when the Roman system of worship and religion came into existence. And as we've stated on the board, the worst system ever to disgrace the earth that God has created. It is the Roman Catholic Church period or age. And during this time, we find as Constantine and then others continue to move forwards, we find that man is beginning to take the place of the Lord Jesus. The Pope is known as the vicar here on earth. He is God's spokesperson. He is God's representative. And that all started under Constantine. And then it continued through the different emperors that wanted that power and position. And then finally Rome, even if with the fall of Rome, they still had at that time enough power and force in religion to continue to bring this false teaching into the picture. And we need to understand that there is nothing concerning the New Testament church that is true when it comes to the popery or the Catholic Church. There is no truths there. It is all false. It is all a lie. It is all set up on great deception. Roman boasts of unity, but their unity is brought about only by bloodshed and the sword. True Christianity, true Christians are brought about by the Holy Spirit is where unity comes. The Catholic Church, or popery as it started out to be, completely shuts out the Lord Jesus Christ as the head. It speaks of Jezebel. They have put Mary. You go to Mary. Mary is more important than Jesus. Now, any time that you have changed the level of doctrine to that place, you can see that there is no value there at all. Thyatira represents the age when Rome took over the reins of religion on earth. And so we find this beginning statement here, "These things saith the Son of God." Because the church of Thyatira had left the Lord Jesus out and had placed him with man, because of doing that, we find this title, the Son of God, because it speaks clearly of the deity and relationship with the Father that the Son has. And so there is a purpose every time, whether it's a Son of Man or Son of God, there's a purpose for the way that title is presented. And here it's presented because there is judgment to come. And so we find this very clear. And then there's further identification, and his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. Fire symbolizes his hatred and intolerance for evil. The fire, the fine brass, speaks nothing but judgment. And we know that by the study we've enjoyed with the tabernacle. So whatever his eyes discover, his feet will tread upon. Whatever his eyes see, his feet is going to stamp out. Every system of evil that bears the Christian name. There was a period of time when a Catholic was a Catholic. Didn't want to be called a Christian. But today it doesn't matter if it's a Catholic or if it's a Mormon or whatever they are. Muslim's the only one that doesn't want to be called a Christian. Everybody else does. Well, every evil, false doctrine that comes under the Christian name, God will sort out and judge. And he is doing that very thing in the church of Pergamos, in the church of Thyatira to this point. When the Lord Jesus comes in person, he will bring judgment and no one will escape. In Ephesus, the love of Jesus decreased. In Thyatira, the true believers, actually their works and their love for Jesus grew. Look at this. "I know thy works," in verse 19. "And charity," charity's love. "And service," and faith, and patience. "I know thy works," it says there in verse 19. And it even tells us something about them a little more. "You're better today than what you were yesterday." That should be a goal of every one of our lives as we grow closer to the Lord Jesus. We should be better today than we were yesterday. We should be better tomorrow than we were today. We should be growing closer to the Lord Jesus. And even though with all this great persecution and all the wickedness that was going on in the church of Thyatira, there was a remnant that stayed true. And that remnant, even though they were martyred, they were persecuted, they were growing, and they were better than before. And wonderful words there. It says again, "I know thy works," charity, your love, "service," you're working, "faith," your faith is not diminished. you have great patience in everything and thy works. And we have two times, I know thy works, and down here, thy works, and the last of your works is more than the first. You're growing. You're increasing. What a joy. What a statement. The night was dark, and yet thy works were increasing. Charity, love, is mentioned first because it's the greatest of all. And we have that in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Then, of course, in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit, the first one is love. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. However, verse 20, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel. The supremacy, the position of a Roman pope is originated here. Here's where it starts. And it's in the year about 500, 550 when this takes place. So back at that time, the Middle Ages represented by Thyatira because of the, and the Dark Ages because of the evil that was permitted by this assembly. Yes, we have that remnant that stayed true, but the bulk of the church under the Christian name followed after Jezebel. And in, to your total amazement, Peter was not the first pope. I want to make a stand on that. The Holy Spirit chose Jezebel as our illustration here because of the doctrine that she led and followed. Jezebel was a woman. She was a queen. She was an adulteress. She was a persecutor. And she actually ruled the governing rule of the nation of Israel. She had a husband, and it was King Ahab, but he was just a puppet. He didn't do anything. And she took, as the scripture tells us, on the title prophetess. And so she taught and she seduced the minds of the people and she trained them to follow. And so the mother church, as you hear the Catholics refer to, their mother is Jezebel. If you want to know where they are, if you want to have a conversation with a Catholic and the conversation end very quickly, you just say, you know, you talk about Mother Mary, but your mother is actually Jezebel. Because that is exactly what the Word of God tells us, is Jezebel. Instead of following the Lord Jesus, who stands in the midst of these seven with the seven lampstands in the midst of the churches, they are following the teaching of man. So Rome at this time then begins to proclaim that the church cannot err in faith or morals. When the Pope says the church means the Roman system. They claim the Pope again to be the vicar of Christ, and they stand that it is Christ's it's God's representative here on earth. And so whatever the Pope says is a direct tie to the Lord Jesus Christ, and whatever he says is right because he is a representative here on earth. I want to give you just a little bit of history here. In 590 to 604, Gregory I was really the first real pope. And we have Benedict the Ninth, which was from 1033 to 1045. He was only 12 years old when they made him pope. Whatever was that position, I don't know. He must have known somebody, and so he became pope. But they finally threw him out. And next, Gregory the Sixth, which was just 1 year of 1046, because at that time there were three people that wanted to be pope. Now, boy, there's direct guidance from heaven on this, isn't there? There are three people that wanted to be pope. One was Gregory the Sixth, one was Benedict the Ninth, and one was Sylvester the Third. Those three wanted to be pope. Those three hired assassins to come in and kill the other ones that wanted to be pope. Boy, this is a spiritual thing going on here. You want to be part of the Catholic Church? You want to be part of Jezebel? Isn't it so sad how people have been deceived and lied? And as it says here, Jezebel gave them a line and they believed it. And they still are. We think people are smart. People are not smart. They are followers. They want something inside their heart. And so they grab a hold of anything. And these folks have been lied to and deceived. And Rome has led millions upon millions of people straight to hell because of the doctrine that they teach. So anyway, finally, the king got disgusted with what was going on. Henry III, and he stepped in, kicked all three of them out, and appointed his own Clement II as pope. And so that's just a little bit of history. And they said that then in 1198 to 1216 was Innocent III was pope. Innocent III, he was the one that forbid anyone to read the Bible. Why did he do that? It's the exact same reason in the Lutheran Church, that unless you're educated, don't read the Bible. Well, what happens if you read the Bible, the Spirit of God can deal with your heart, you get saved and get out. They had to stop the people from reading the Bible. And he was the one, and he was one of the most powerful, and he forbid anyone that was within the church, which was basically everyone, not to read the Bible. It's not a problem. At the same time period, the church teachers, the church interprets. So says Rome. It's not the church. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have a personal relationship. Not the Bible, not the Word of God, but the church is the authority, and she has the right then, the authority, to change the Word of God, because the church is the authority, not the Bible. Not the Word of God, the church. They are the authority. And so we come, and some of the things here that's a problem: to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. Fornication and adultery were the two great errors of the church of Pergamos, and it was taught and practiced there. But this fornication, the Christian living and enjoying and fellowshipping with the world. That's the fornication we're talking about here. We're talking about not living a life separated for the Lord Jesus, but loving all the things of the world, and then bringing those things into the church. Remember the one comment, the church became world in, the world became churchy, and the devil was just so happy. The devil's so pleased with that connection. And we have that today with so many, and I'm not going to call them churches, I'm going to call them organizations, because that's what the Roman Catholic Church is. And any other body of folks that get together, it is not a church, because the church is born-again believers. And so it is an organization. And they are living up to these standards as Jezebel has taught. Once again, this is the started with Constantine and grew into the, as we know, the Catholic Church Pope. He was the first to bring the church and the state together, Constantine was. This unholy union of the church and state will be judged, and it does continue today. The Roman system is set with holy days, with what they call rites, R-I-T-E-S, ceremonies, the vestments that they take care of, its titles, all, 100% of it, is pagan-based. Is pagan-based. trust anyone that is actively involved in the Roman Catholic Church and believes what they believe is going to burn in hell. You want to know where these fantastic, these beautiful churches the Catholics have? Started back with Constantine. He built and used the idols' temples, redid them just a little bit, put a cross up front, called it a church, and then forced all to be a part of that. That's where it started. And then in his leadership, in his doing that, then it became evident that a man had to take control. It's said that from the year 500, even though that they put a pope in place, the people had problems following an individual. It took many centuries to where they all would bow down and kiss the ring and kiss the feet of this pope. It took many centuries for that to take place. But you see, that old devil, he's patient. Just because it didn't work right away, he just kept moving forwards. And he has established, whether it's the Roman Catholic Church or whether it's the offspring of Jezebel that we have today in most of our organizations that people call churches, the devil has been very, very successful. And that Roman stand of man controlling God's church is very, very evident today. And it started back in about 500. All religions on earth can be cataloged under two headings: fear and love. True Christianity is the love of Christ and the love that we have for each other because of the love of Christ. All others is based on fear. You come here, you give this, you be baptized or you're not going to heaven. You join this church or you're not going to heaven. It's all fear. Every single one of them. You have to be baptized to be saved. Fear. I better be baptized. The whole world is set upon fear. So it makes sense that the church, the worldly church, is also set upon fear. But true Christianity is love. The joy of love. Let me read from verse 18 down through verse 20, and then we'll end for the day. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira write these things, saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, thy charity, thy service, and faith, thy patience, thy works, and the last is to be more than the first. What a compliment he's giving for this small remnant that stayed true. But for the rest, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Succeeded in getting the church worldly and the world churchy. Greatest thing the devil has ever done. Compromise. Come together. Pergamos is the compromising church, but it was just an introduction into Thyatira, into that age. And again, all seven of these churches were in existence at the same time. So, you know, we kind of get caught up in the church ages, but realize that you could go 35 miles from Ephesus to Thyatira and find this wicked church. We have one that just kind of lost her first love. We have one that the devil is just beaten to death and martyring everybody. And those churches are within 25 and 30 miles of each other at the same time these churches were going on. They're going on today at the same time, as well as we have these periods. And the time period of Thyatira, the day of the birth of the Pope and the Roman Catholic Church, is called the Dark Ages. The most worst time. We are in the Church of Laodicea. There's only one worse than Thyatira, and that's where we are today. Let's close in prayer. Father, we need to come by faith to you. We need to walk with you. We need to serve you. And we need to understand, just as these people here, well, I don't like the Church of Ephesus, or I'm tired of the condemning and the people that are being murdered for the name of Jesus in Smyrna. So you know what? I'm going to go on down the road. That church down there of Thyatira, Church of Pergamos, they're growing. My, there's so many people there. I'm going to go there. Judgment will come. God's going to sort it out. So please, please, Father, just show us your perfect will. Help us to stand upon your word, and help us to be serious. Get out of the world and into your house. Father, let's show that devil tonight. Let's come back and be here tonight. Show that devil that I'm not going to sit in front of the television, or I'm going to be in the house of God tonight. I'm not going to miss that study in 1 John. I'm not going to do it. But Father, so often, we'll see. I just don't know. I can't commit. I'll try. I got to go to work tomorrow. Oh, just don't know. Father, we know those are all pathetic excuses, because you saved us. You shed your blood for us. You died for us. And you ask us to come and to learn of you and to grow and become stronger. And it's just for our good. It's all for our good. So, Father, please just speak to all of our hearts. Bring us back tonight into your house to enjoy this time of fellowship and growing closer to you. Which church would we each one of us like to be in right now? Which church is our life in right now? Just speak to our hearts. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.